Golf today.
With a score of 267, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year, Scottie Scheffler.
Gives you chills every year you hear the announcement, five of the sweetest words in all of golf, champion golfer of the year. For the first time, Scottie Scheffler captures the claret jug in the 153rd playing of the Open, the oldest major in the men's professional game, dating all the way back to 1860. Welcome inside our Golf Channel Worldwide headquarters. This is Golf Today. I'm George Savarikas alongside Anna Jackson. We have a jam-packed two-hour show. So many guests to get to. Brandel Chambly, Rich Lerner, Ewan Murray with The Guardian, Stephen Watson with BBC Sport, Northern Ireland. I know for you, growing up in the UK, the Open has to hold a special place in your heart. What was it like watching last week unfold?
It is always just so special. I'm not going to lie, George, I love the Open. Everybody, it doesn't matter who you are in the world, it doesn't matter where you're from, the Open Championship is unlike any other championship in the game. And now that it's, of course, the last major of the season, just makes it that much more special as well, because you're looking ahead to the week, but you're also reflecting on the season that we've had. It's just the most authentic kind of golf. It's the purest, it's the grittiest, it's so unpredictable. The conditions, of course, we just had so much beautiful sunshine, but there's something about the Open that just stands out amongst the rest. 280,000 tickets were sold last week at Royal Portrush. The atmosphere was unbelievable, and I'm so happy for Scotty. I think Rory had a fantastic week as well. We can get to all the storylines, but it's just different.
I think there was more than one winner last week with what unfolded, and kind of the arc for Rory McIlroy to have the homecoming after the career Grand Slam, but what Scottie Scheffler did in his dominant run, which we're going to dive into throughout the show for the next couple hours. Now you start cueing the hype machine. He's at four. Where's the number going to land at the end of his career? He's only 29 years old in his prime, so that's the million-dollar question. Can't wait to hear from all our different guests to start doing the projections to say, okay, hot run, is he going to be one of the greats of the game? Can he get to 7 or 10, or where is he going to go from here? Because we're all greedy, and he's just had one of the best seasons that we've seen in recent memory with 4 wins and 2 majors, which is amazing to think that 2 years in a row we've had someone win 2 majors during a major season with Xander Schauffele the year before.
Yeah, as if we haven't had enough Rich and Brandel for the last week. As it is, they will be coming on, and we will be asking them those exact questions, so stay with us. Well, Scottie becomes just the 4th golfer in history to win the Masters, PGA Championship and Open Championship before the tender age of 30, joining the legends of Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus and, of course, Tiger Woods. And now only the US Open remains for Scottie to complete that Grand Slam. But beyond the numbers, one of the biggest talking points, what it does or perhaps doesn't mean for Scottie to now win the Claret Jug.
At the end of the day, I have a tremendous amount of gratitude towards moments like these. You know, I've literally worked my entire life to become somewhat good at this game, to be able to play this game for a living, and it's one of the great joys of my life, being able to compete out here. And to be able to win the Open Championship here at Portrush is a feeling that's really hard to describe. You know, I'm very fortunate to be able to come out here and live out my dreams. You know, I just grew up a kid in Texas that wanted to play professional golf. I grew up wearing pants to the golf course because that's what I wanted to do. I saw professional golfers like Justin Leonard, Harrison Frazier, those types of guys on TV wearing pants, and I was like, I want to be like those guys. So I used to wear pants to grow up to play golf, and it'd be 100 degrees out. I'd be way too hot. People would make fun of me, but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a professional golfer, so I wore pants. And you know, I don't know why I'm so lucky that I get to live out my dreams, but it's something that I'm very grateful for. And so If somebody's going to listen to the comments I had this week, I would encourage them to listen to all of it. And you know, hopefully I did a good job of communicating that, yeah, this is amazing to win the Open Championship. But at the end of the day, having success in life, whether it be in golf or work or whatever it is, that's not what fulfills the deepest desires of your heart. Am I grateful for it? Do I enjoy it? Oh, my gosh, yeah, this is a cool feeling. I can't wait to get home and celebrate this championship. You know, with the people that have kind of helped me along the way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't fulfill the deepest desires of my heart. And but it's just tough to describe when you haven't lived it. You know, something I actually talked to Shane about this week was, you know, just because you win a golf tournament or accomplish something, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't. Maybe for a few moments, maybe for a few days, but at the end of the day, you know, there's more to life than playing golf. But you know, I'm pretty excited to go home and celebrate this one.
Well, Nike never short to grab an opportunity and have a viral moment saying you've already won, but it never hurts another major. Never hurts. Well, that's very true indeed. Summing up, I think, Scotty's perspective very well indeed. And speaking of Baby Bennett, he was the star of the show yesterday. An amazing father-son moment. Just 14 months old. Another trophy for the little man after the victory. Made his way up the 18th to be with Dad. Took a couple of stumbles along the way. Got some assistance and got to the green where he soaked in the claret jug. Scotty Scheffler is just a different kind of champion. That moment there sums it up perfectly. You don't see true, real, emotional family moments, I think, like that. And what was it about Scotty last week, George? What really stood out to you as to what he was able to achieve?
And that was the only stumble we saw out of the Scheffler family on the 18th green, was coming from Bennett, trying to reach Dad at the top of the slope. I think with Scotty, you try and... You almost run it out of superlatives, but you try and figure out, okay, how do we put this in perspective? And you always play the comparison game. But what I find fascinating is when you talk to his peers on the PGA Tour, and it's or on the DP World Tour, what separates Scottie Scheffler in big moments? And they always go to his mind, that his mental game, and he has these physical gifts that he's clearly honed in, but mentally he is so strong that he goes... He's able to take himself to a place that is very Tiger Woods-esque, where he is seemingly just unaffected of the moment, of who he's going up against, of any slow starts or ragged shots or a double bogey on eight. No matter what, he is able to refocus and rise up to the occasion. And we've seen him do it time after time. And I think we're starting a run, and the best major run for consistency was Jack Nicklaus in the 1970s. He played 40 majors. He had 35 top 10 finishes, which is a preposterous stat. Scottie Scheffler's played in 23 majors since 2020. He has had 16 top 10 finishes and won four majors. Mm. And we're only basically, what, halfway through the decade? So I do think that Scottie Scheffler is going to elevate himself past where Rory McIlroy is, where Phil is at six. You have a glut of players who have between 4 to 6 majors. It seems like he has staying power that other people haven't had. And a lot of it is because of the scenes we saw in 18. He's stable family life. He says family, faith, then golf, 1, 2, 3. He's not making massive changes with his golf game. If anything, it was the new grip that he used at the Hero World Challenge, and they won by 6, and all of a sudden Scotty's now a top third putter on the PGA Tour this year. That's about as big a change as you see in Scotty's life. So I think the stability and with how grounded he is what sets him up for success. What's your take?
Yeah, I think last week we learned a lot about Scottie Scheffler and his mindset, his headspace, and what allows him to operate on a different level to everybody else. And because of that, I think he is connecting on a more global level to fans, I think over in the UK as well. For a lot of people for a long time, he was just a bit of a boring American golfer. By boring, because he makes the game look so easy. But learning more about his process, he talks a lot about his process and how he's not, as we know, motivated by results, motivated by trophies, not motivated by fame. It's the genuine love and desire of what he does. And it's his calling. As he mentioned, it's his calling in life to execute this game to the best of his ability, which that is what allows him to stay present, because he's not thinking about anything else, because his one goal is to execute at the highest level. So that is just so dangerous. I don't know any other player who has sort of alluded to that feeling of taking the onus off himself, and it's really in the hands of his faith. And if he wins, great. If he doesn't, also great. There's so much else to his life. So I don't know how you can compete with that. Physically, he's so strong. No real sign of injury worries in the future. I can't see how anybody can stop Scotty in the next 5 to 10 years. He's not even 30 yet, which is scary.
And I don't know of anyone who has ascended to the stature that Scotty has had in his sport, say the last 10 years, who could care less about celebrity than Scotty Scheffler. Other people, maybe the magnitude of it can be overwhelming, but the adulation is something that can be a motivator. And I think for Scotty, that's the last thing on his mind, is to have people recognize him or to have adoring fans. And that, so for him to win over UK golf fans or global golf fans, it was going to be based on the level of his play. His clubs would literally have to do a lot of the talking for Scotty, and it's getting to the point now where his greatness is being fully appreciated. And it's we're at such a point with the run that he's had in his career where he is now going to receive a similar welcome in Europe that he would in the U.S. because fans everywhere realize this is special and we're along for the ride now.
Yeah, he's opening up, and that's not something that a lot of golfers do. He's confident within himself to describe to the world why he is the way that he is. It's not easy to articulate. And I think he said, I really hope what I just said made sense after he explained his existential crisis for about 5 minutes. But it did make sense. And he's becoming a lot more relatable and likable, I think.
Yeah, and we're just getting started on this Monday as we continue to celebrate the Champion Golfer of the Year, Scottie Scheffler. Our friend and colleague, Brandel Chambly, joins us with his reaction and an update on Luggage Gate after the break.
...29-year-old Scottie Scheffler, now a 17-time PGA Tour winner thanks to an incredible performance at Royal Portrush over the weekend. He is the only player with top 10s in all four majors of 2025 and now a four-time major champion. Well, our colleague Dan Hicks shared this wild stat during the broadcast on Sunday, saying Scheffler and Tiger Woods both sharing 1,197 days between their first and their fourth major wins. That is mind-blowing, by the way. As stats go, that is one of the best, and many will continue to make comparisons between the two great players. So here is what Scottie had to say after the win when he was asked about Tiger.
I don't know if you saw that Tiger's first major win to fourth major win and your first to fourth were both 1,197 days apart. And then Bones made a comparison on the broadcast this week. What does it feel like to know that those comparisons are kind of getting louder and louder?
I mean, I still think they're a bit silly. You know, Tiger won, what, 15 majors? It's my fourth. Just got one fourth of the way there. So just, I mean, it's, I think Tiger stands alone in the game of golf. You know, he was inspirational for me growing up, and he was a very, very talented guy, and he was a special person to be able to be as good as he was at the game of golf. And I don't focus on that kind of stuff. That's not what motivates me. I'm not motivated by winning championships, and I don't look at the beginning of the year and just say, hey, I want to win X amount of tournaments. I want to win, you know, whatever it is. I don't do that. I have dreams and aspirations that I think about, but at the end of the day, you know, when I wake up and to practice, you know, I feel like what motivates me is just getting out and, you know, getting to live out my dream. I get to play professional golf, and I feel like I'm called to do it to the best of my ability. And so when I wake up in the morning, I try and put max effort in each day. I get to go out and practice, and when I'm working out, when I'm doing the cold tub and doing recovery, like I feel like I'm just called to do it to the best of my ability. And outside of that, I don't place much emphasis on winning tournaments. I don't place much emphasis on things that I can accomplish. It's just mostly about putting in the proper work and coming out here and competing.
Well, get ready, Scottie, because the Tiger comparisons are going to continue to roll. This one of the most impressive numbers that we've seen so far. Just the third player in the last 100 years to win four or more majors now by three or more strokes. The only others, of course, Tiger and Jack. So to get the reaction of our friend and colleague who loves these numbers, Mr. Brandel Chambly, you were out at Royal Portrush all week. Really good to see you. A front row seat to all the action. What stands out to you about Scottie, the headline thought about what he was able to put together over those 4 days at Royal Portrush?
Well, if I were a professional golfer right now and I dreamed of being the number one player in the world, my name wasn't Scottie Scheffler, I think I would have to reconcile with the fact that that dream was going to go unfulfilled for a long time into the future. Scottie's just in another league. I ran into tour player Matt Wallace, who's spent a bit of time playing, on the DP World Tour, playing the PGA Tour, good guy. And I asked him this morning what he thought of Scottie Scheffler. And he said he thought it was the best golf that has ever been played. Talking about Tiger Woods, he said, you know, Tiger Woods certainly blew our mind, but he seemed to always be doing the impossible, something I was talking about last night on the show and trying to articulate the difference between Tiger and Scotty. But Matt took it a little bit farther. He said, you know, because Tiger was powerful, but also, you know, tend to be a little bit wild, he always looked like he was doing the impossible, whereas Scotty Scheffler just is not as wild. He finds the fairways and just racks up great shot after great shot. And he thought it was the best golf that he had ever seen in the history of the game. I'm not sure I'd go quite that far. I'd still put Tiger at the top of the heap, and I still feel a little bit silly making the comparisons to Tiger. But when you put up the graphic that you just put up a minute ago, and then you consider that nobody has won their first four majors by three shots or greater since 1909. Tiger Woods didn't do it. Jack didn't do it. Hogan didn't do it since 1909. So, you know, nobody has got off to a better start in their first four majors in well over 100 years. So we're witnessing the march to one of the greatest careers in the history of golf.
I'm curious, Brandel, and we've seen other players who have ripped off stretches where they have three majors in 3 years, four majors in 4 years. I'm going non-Tiger Woods category, which Scottie Scheffler's been able to do. He's had four majors since 2022 as we see him soaking it all in with his family on hand. Some of the guys, Padraig Harrington had three in 2 years. Rory had the bulk of his majors in that four-year span. Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth. So why do you think Scotty's different when these other guys, when we were living it, they seemed invincible, and then we look back and say, oh, that was just the bulk of their prime?
They weren't as good. And the data showed that. You know, you can just extrapolate from the data and see how dominant that Scottie Scheffler is off the tee into the green. Scottie's the best driver of the golf ball in the world, has been for a while, by far the best iron player. When you add up his ball striking numbers, and this was not true of Rory, it was not true of Brooks Koepka, it was not true of Jordan Spieth, or any of the other players since Tiger's dominance. When you add up their ball striking numbers, they were nowhere near as good as Scottie Scheffler is. And I hesitate to say this because I'm talking about somebody who's won the career Grand Slam in Rory McIlroy, and he's been playing professional golf since, I think, 2007. So, you know, sneaking up on 20 years. Even if you cherry pick the very best year of Rory McIlroy's career, he's never, not one year, been as good as Scottie Scheffler is right now. Never. No player has been as good as Scottie Scheffler is right now, except for Tiger Woods, in the last, you know, 40 years or so. And only one other player has had as many strokes gained per round in major championships in the modern era, and that's Ben Hogan. Jack Nicklaus didn't, Tiger Woods didn't. So all of those other players you mentioned, and I mean, they're great players, all of them, but Scotty's on another level.
And what's interesting about that, Brandel, I think, is how many players, especially this week, openly alluded to that themselves. It's not often that you hear the best in the world, world number two, Rory McIlroy, saying that the world number one is setting the bar right now, from Matt Fitzpatrick to Xander Schauffele. You said you met Matt Wallace earlier today, and they are all alluding to the fact that they are inferior to Scotty. How rare is it for so many of the world's best players to admit that to the world, that they are nowhere near as good as the man on top right now?
I think they're all struggling to come to grips with what they're competing against, trying to struggle to put it into context or perspective, and then struggling, trying to figure out how they could ever improve to the point where they could compete with him. And they're all just coming to grips with it. You know, it's just the sad reality, or the great reality if you're us and we get to talk about it. But if you're a competitor, it's a sad reality that you're playing in an era where if you played your best golf, you're likely not going to beat him if he's playing a little bit better than his average golf. And I think that's a tremendous thing, because we've had this debate for a great many years. What's better at the top? A parity to see great back and forth. And we certainly enjoy the great back and forth. But to make you jump off the couch, to make you quit what you're doing and come watch TV, I think it really does take transformative genius. That's what Tiger did. That's what Jack Nicklaus did. And that's what Scotty, look, he's in the early stages of his career still, but that's what he's doing. And this is what it looks like on the way to the greatest career in the history of golf, or one of the greatest careers in the history of golf.
I was on Sirius XM radio, and Colt Nost had shared a great anecdote, and he's known Scotty since he was 7 or 8. And Colt was in college and just starting his pro career and working with Randy Smith. And he said that Scotty would come out and just watch him hit buckets of balls in the short game area. And as a 7 or 8 year old, he had this singular focus where once Colt would get out of the bunker, Scotty would get in and he'd see the 7 and 8 year old hitting the exact same shots that he was. And it was just incredible at such an early stage of his career that Colt could tell that he was wired so differently. And when Scotty gets on the mic, Brandle, he's so introspective. He started the week talking about the fleeting feelings of joy that he has from week to week in this pursuit of being the world number one. He ended the week talking about how he's not one to embrace the spotlight of fame. He's not wired the same as Bryson DeChambeau. How did you perceive Scotty's comments at the Open?
Gosh, they were so refreshing. You know, I heard Rory say he's a great ambassador for golf. And, you know, I've sort of been envious of, you know, when I'm a huge tennis fan. In the last 20, 30 years, I think tennis has been very lucky to have unbelievable stars in Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and Djokovic. And all of them, I thought, have demonstrated such great humility and generosity as superstars. And golf has an ambassador much like that in Scottie Scheffler. I thought that sort of philosophical elegy where he was talking about the ephemeral nature of victory was really insightful, made you think. You know, we live, all of us are living in an era where fame is so ravenously sought after, you know, mostly through the external validation of social media. I think we're all in danger of being prisoners. What's that irony, that ironical statement, being prisoners who fall in love with the cage. And to me, he was like, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not getting in that cage. I'm not chasing money. I'm not chasing fame. I'm not chasing the external validation of winning championships. This is what I do. He's always careful to say, I was called to do this. And I think he's, you know, he's cognizant that he's been given a talent and been given the drive to do it. But his source of freedom or source of meaning in life isn't derived from winning championships. It's really from the personal sacrifices that he makes for others and following in his faith and trust in family and friends. And I think that's refreshing, especially in the backdrop of this era.
You're talking about, Brandle, potentially one of the greatest careers that we'll ever see in this game. What are we talking here? 5, 10, 15, 18 majors? I know you don't want to put a number on it, but right now he seems like he's unstoppable. And if he is stoppable, how is he going to be stopped?
Yeah, all good questions, Anna. You know, I try not to be hyperbolic. I really do. I sit around and I'm like, don't get ahead of yourself here. Because I was on the set when Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open in 2008, and we all thought he was going to win 25 majors. It was 11 years before he won another. I was on the set when Rory McIlroy won at Valhalla in 2014. It was 11 years before he won another one. You'd never guess that. So, you know, life throws you curveballs, but the best, you know, you can do is look, he's not going to change his swing the way Tiger did, or change his body the way Tiger did, or Rory did. Rory even changed his golf swing. He's just not going to do that. He's going to stick with Randy Smith. You just know it. I think the whole golf world's learned how to train better, so he won't make the mistakes training that Tiger did or even Rory did early in his career. He's humble. You know, I just don't think the traps that are such a huge obstacle to prolonged greatness in the game. If you look at the fall off in the games of, I don't know, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Patrick Cantlay. And it seems to me that, you know, with so much money, it's easy to get complacent. With so many distractions, it's easy to be distracted worrying about, you know, the betterment of the PGA Tour, or the controversy with LIV, or there's so many, there's so much access to data and different swing theories, and all of those are just distractions. They're all hurdles. And I just feel like he's just on the right course. He's not going to be susceptible to those ridiculous hurdles. And look, if it hadn't been for tragic and bizarre circumstances at the PGA Championship last year, and I'm not detracting from what Xander Schauffele did there, but Scottie Scheffler might well have won that event. And if it hadn't been for a kitchen accident of cutting his hand at the beginning of the year, the Masters might have turned out different, you know, because he got off to such a slow start. So, of course, life can get in the way of these things. Injuries can happen, et cetera, et cetera. But it would not surprise me, Anna, if he won double-digit major championships. And that's really the next bar. You know, very few people, Tiger, Jack, and Walter Hagen, that's it, who've won double-digit multiple major championships. And I think that's realistic.
Wow. And that's where the pyramid really narrows when you get past this 4, 5, 6 range. And once you start looking at 7, 8, 9, that's legends of the game. Then you're talking the greats of the game once you're at 10 plus. With Rory McIlroy just finishing off the career Grand Slam earlier this year, it had been an up and down season since. What did last week do for Rory?
Well, I think he's back on track, you know, after sort of a, whatever you want to call it, a mini slump, trying to find a driver, trying to get sorted out psychologically, you know, who knows where all that angst was coming from. Everybody was scratching their heads with that one, but he's back on track. I mean, you look at his last three tournaments, he's was sixth at the Travelers. He was second at the Scottish Open and seventh last week. So it's good to see. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, he won another event or two or won the FedEx Cup. Who knows? I mean, he's playing great golf again. He plays phenomenal golf at the Tour Championship. But, you know, deep inside, he knows he's got to get better to compete with Scottie Scheffler. I mean, if you want to win, you know, more major championships, and, you know, he's got a problem. He's got a problem. Everybody in professional golf got a problem. But if you look at how many world ranking points Scottie Scheffler has, you have to aggregate the world ranking points of Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, and Justin Thomas, the next three players in the world rankings, to surpass the world ranking points of Scottie Scheffler. And even more, if you take the next four players in the world rankings and you doubled their ball striking stats, if you doubled them, they would be well shy of Scottie Scheffler's ball striking stats. So he is so much better than Rory. He's so much better than Colin Morikawa. He's so much better than Justin Thomas. He's just so much better than anybody else. They're playing, you know, Rory's playing good golf, but it's nowhere near as good a golf as Scottie's playing.
Shh, Brandel, don't let the others hear you. That's not good news for everyone else in the world of golf. Thank you so much for your time, BC. You guys out there always do such an amazing job at just contextualizing the history that we've seen. So phenomenal as always. A tough week in the office, I know, for you. By the way, I did see you kicking off on X about your luggage and your golf clubs not arriving at the beginning of the week. Did they get there in the end?
We've got 3 of the 4 bags. We just got them this morning. One of my bags, which is my golf clubs, is still at the airport. So we're still groveling to get our bags.
No pity.
And Anna, I will see you at the CME. I think we worked together then. I look forward to that. And George, I'll see you soon. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff, Brian.
Likewise.
Enjoy your European gallivanting with your lovely wife, Bailey. We wish we were there with you. Have a great time. We'll see you soon.
That would be fun. Talk to you all later.
Okay, well, some such special moments for the entire Scheffler family. What a run, literally, little Bennett Scheffler has been on in his young little life. May not remember these moments, we know, but the photos will last a lifetime. We've got Rich Lerner, our very own, joining us after the break with more.
Final leaderboard from the 153rd playing of the Open. Well played, Scottie. See you at Birkdale next year for 2026. One of the coolest leaderboards that we see in all of golf each and every year. So much history around it. And what a job by our friend Rich Lerner and the Live From crew this week. Rich, that set, spectacular. I mean, the views that you guys had were so good at Royal Portrush.
Paulie called it the Irish Riviera. And people thought I was crazy when I said it had Pebble Beach vibes. I mean, you stand on that fifth green, 6th tee. It was close to Pebble Beach. It was that good. I mean, the weather, the long summer days, I mean, 10, 10:30 at night, still light out. you can put a bag on your shoulder, you know, like 7:30. We've all done that when we've been over there. You could play a fast 18, not on the PGA Tour. You couldn't. You'd have to tee off at 3. Sorry, that was a little subtle dig there. But, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, George? It's a great place to be in the summertime.
Yeah, it was a special spot and a special week by Scottie Scheffler. Rich, what is Scottie's superpower?
Clarity, passion, purpose, and balance. And I think that would, you know, all wrapped up into one nice, neat little package with an emphasis on clarity and purpose.
Yeah, notably, Rich, there, you didn't say iron play or short game. It was all mental and emotional characteristics that you're describing that really is his superpower. As a storyteller, Rich, and someone who's covered this game for well over 20, 30 years now, what does potentially this level of dominance do for the game, for media, for fans? Is it a positive thing, in your opinion?
I think it'll take a little time. Because this one is going to be about pure athletic achievement. It won't be about much else. All of those other aspects that we now tie to modern celebrity, athletic celebrity. I wrote this last night in the closing piece. You know, Scottie is undeniably at the moment one of the greatest athletes in the world. He's there with Mbappe and Simone Biles and Max Verstappen and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Alcaraz, Sinner. And keep going. The list is a little bit longer than that. Saquon Barkley, Patrick Mahomes. But he doesn't feel like a hot commodity because I don't think he wants to be. So you're not going to see Scottie on the red carpet at the Met Gala. You're not going to see Scottie on a yacht in the Mediterranean. Scottie will not be digitizing his every movement. The only time you're really going to see Scottie is in the winner's circle. You know, that's his thing. Brandel alluded to this. He over and over, Scottie said, I've been called to do this. So there's a sort of a spiritual side to this. Scottie is a man of faith. I don't think he puts it in people's faces when he's out there, but he does refer to it as a calling. And I do think, you know, oftentimes with professed men of faith, there's this idea that because they've given over control to a higher power, they sort of passively accept whatever the outcome is. It's out of their control. That's a mistake with Scottie. Scottie burns to win. He just is intent on not burning down the house to do it. So, you know, to sort of answer your question, if he wins by 3, 4, and 5 every time out, I don't think it's going to be very exciting, but that's of no concern to Scottie. He's doing what he's doing to the best of his ability. It's up to Rory and Xander and Victor and keep going to answer the challenge now. I don't think Scottie sort of inspires this passion in the audience, at least not yet. He's not winning in sort of mind-blowing fashion. It's impressive. It's admirable, but it doesn't sort of spark this heat that Tiger did. He doesn't have this hope and heartbreak kind of a drama that Rory has going. He is not this sort of outsized figure the way Bryson is. He's just Scottie Scheffler. Tee to green, he wears you out. And I think as time goes by and he marches deeper into history, then yes, I think it will continue to be compelling. As he gets to 7 and 8, Brandel again referenced this. Can he get to double digits? Can he catch Walter Hagen at 11? And then maybe 10 years down the road, we can begin to have that conversation. Does he have enough? Is it possible to get to 15 and catch Tiger, which is outlandish to be saying out loud at this point? But you don't know. It could happen. He's that good.
That's what we have to do, though. We play the game. We project. Last year at this time, we were talking about a different golfer who had won 2 majors, including the Claret Jug, and Xander Schauffele. And he and Scottie at that time were tied 2 each. Now Scottie's up to 4. If you forecast who among his group of peers is going to be a rival. Is there going to be one direct rival, or is it going to be a Tiger scenario where you have a group of players who get hot spurts, hot stretches, who rise up to threaten Scotty for either golf's throne or majors season to season?
I would say probably a group of players. I still think the player best positioned to challenge Scotty would be Rory, but Rory's 36 and Scotty's 29. So Rory's kind of running out of time. But I would say if you want to, you know, sort of project out a little bit, George, I know you're good with numbers. So is it preposterous to think that Scotty could win one major a year for the next six? These are his prime years. Mm-hmm. So 29 to 35, he gets one a year. Reasonable, or is that unreasonable?
If we're going to say that he's different, like Tiger or Jack, and he's in his prime, then I wouldn't say that's an unreasonable projection to make. I don't know that he'll land at 10, but for the sake of the assertion, I think it's very reasonable.
Reasonable. So that would put him at 10. That puts him ahead of Ben Hogan and Gary Player, who have 9. And then at that point, from 36 to 40, would it be reasonable to say that he could pick off one every other year at that point?
At a certain point, and Anna, I would love for you to weigh in.
Yeah.
Just mathematically, you look at the number of players who have done this before, and inevitably, there's a period where Father Time weighs in and is undefeated.
And we're also in an era of the game where arguably the competition has never been more elite, and it could be harder to win 10, 12, 13 majors than it ever has been. Rich, I want to shift gears just for a second here, because there are so many of us who sit and have the delight of watching you, Brandler, and Paulie, as you so lovingly call him, on the desk every evening. But there's so much to the Open Championship that we don't get to see, including your preparation process and what your week looks like behind the scenes at the Open. Can you just take the viewer through what a typical day looks like for you guys as you build up to this big show at the end of every night?
You guys have been out there. We come in, and you know, there's a television compound, and they're not often that glamorous. Sometimes you're in the middle of a field. If it's raining, it can be muddy. But we all huddle into sort of a mobile trailer. This week it was a little more like a tin can. It's very intimate. You might have 3 or 4 tables with TVs. We set up our computers. Our producers are there. It really is a family. I don't think this would work if you didn't have these friendships that we've developed, this bond. And it gets funny. You guys have all been there. Brandel and I'm in there. Everybody's stirring it up and trading. And at times it feels a little bit like a cocktail party. People from other, sort of either other organizations, other departments will pop in. There's food. This week it was my favorite, and Anna, you know this, it was the prawn cocktail Walker's crisps. That
correct.
We had
yeah,
too many of those.
So none of this salt and vinegar nonsense. Prawn cocktail Walker's are elite.
And I had the Mr. Whippy, the soft serve vanilla ice cream. Anyway, it's a beautiful bit of alchemy, because, the golf is on, but you're watching golf, you're carrying on conversations. Brandel is filling his legal pads, which I think someday should go to the Hall of Fame, charting every single shot. I've got my running notes going. Paulie's typically doing live tournament coverage, either for Sky or this past week. It was also with NBC. And he'll pop in periodically. Boys, what are we doing? Paulie's one of the greatest guys. Both Brandel and Paulie are the two greatest guys I've ever worked with. I'm not just throwing that out there. They really are. It's been the great privilege of my professional career to work with such good human beings. But there's this beautiful bit of alchemy. Brandel's, pouring himself into what he's doing. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. We have conversations about where we might want to go. And then Paulie will come in, but we'll all meet on the desk, and the producers back in Stamford, Connecticut, are preparing. And somehow magically it all comes together for those 2 hours, basically because, we all have this great passion for the game. We're all dialed into it. And, it's home for me. Live from is home. We're fortunate to be able to work on such a good show.
Well, you guys have fun on the set. You also had some fun off the course, little boondoggle action. And we also saw on Instagram you're chasing lessons now, seemingly from any comer.
Oh, Georgie. So I played Royal Dublin with Paulie the week before we came up to Port Rush, and I hit like 13 diving smother hooks. And to try to lift your size 13 shoes up and out over and over again out of that nasty hay is downright tiring. I got a lesson at a pizza joint in Dublin from a young Indian professional. That didn't seem to work. I got a lesson from Andrew Bradley, our great producer, outside our trailer at Port Rush. That remains to be seen. I'll bring that into play when I get back home. But we had a great time in Dublin. We went to a Gaelic football. I'll share a quick story with you. So Paul, I tell people, I think Paulie, and who's in that picture? There's Dan Hicks wearing the, and his beautiful wife, Hannah Storm from ESPN. The guy to Hannah's right is a famous talk show host, sort of like the Jimmy Fallon of Ireland. There's Paulie and Shane Lowry in the front. So that was at the semifinals of the Gaelic football at Croke Park. If you're ever in Dublin, go to hurling, go to Gaelic football. So quick story. Why do I say to people that Paul McGinley is one of the greatest success stories in the history of the sport? Because when he was 18 years old here in Dublin, he was a very good Gaelic football player. He played in Croke Park. He was close to graduating to the highest levels. The Gaelic football semifinals that we saw. He wrecked his knee. He took a desk job in Brussels, Belgium with the European Union, got deeper into the sport. Again, he's about a 4 handicap. Long story short, he takes a flyer. He'd never been to America. He goes to U.S. International in San Diego. They did not have a scholarship for him. He went up every day at sunrise at Torrey Pines banging balls. A year later, they gave him a scholarship. 2 years after that, he played the 91 Walker Cup at Port Marnock in Ireland on a team against the United States that had David Duval and Phil Mickelson. And 25 years after that, Paul McGinley was the winning captain of the European Ryder Cup team opposite the legend Tom Watson. So from 4 handicap to, and I forgot, the winning putt at the Belfry to winning captain, that in my mind is one of the great success stories in the history of our sport. And anybody who's been around Paul, he knows his love for people, his you know, love for storytelling, his love of the game is infectious. And he's been just so good alongside Brandel. They get along great. They made, I think, just a phenomenal team.
Well, it's a whole orchestra there, Rich, with you as the conductor on live from. And I know us as viewers last week got to enjoy each and every moment that came across the screen. So thank you for what you do. That's and nice. Hopefully the Andrew Bradley lesson pays off and you'll be hitting them straight in no time.
It feels unlikely, doesn't it, Rich? Let's be honest.
Anna, do you have anything? How's my grip look? I'm that.
Close it up a little bit. There you go.
By the way, Brandel's backdrop closes out my backdrop 5-4.
Yeah, you look slightly like you're being held hostage, Rich, but it's all glitz and glamour, isn't it?
You guys know it. I'm at that stage. Richie needs to come home.
Yep, that's showbiz.
We're waiting for you, Rich. Thank you.